There was nothing more insulting than someone assuming a woman needed a man to be happy. I was doing just fine on my own and didn't need a man for a goddamn thing. Calm down, you know how I meant it. My brother always meant well, so I let it go. Now go get that D. He patted my back with a hard thump. I don't want his D. Now he narrowed his eyes at me.
Is there something you need to tell me? Because every woman in this room wants that D.
I want more than that. Then go get it. Ask him to dinner. Stop coaching me. If I want to ask him out, I will. Christian's eyes drifted away to a woman passing by. She wore a tight black dress that showed the sexy swell of her breasts and her gorgeous long legs. She was headed right for Calloway.
You better make your move now, because that fine lady is going to swoop in.
Jealousy ripped right through me, and I was surprised to feel it when I hardly knew this guy. But I knew this woman was beautiful, and if she got to him first, I would miss my chance. He would go home with her, and they'd spend the night fucking while I went back to my apartment alone. I threw my napkin down and scooted my chair back. Distract her. Christian grinned from ear to ear.
Got it.
I walked to his table with my head held high and my shoulders back. It wasn't like me to chase after a guy, but he was the first guy to give me goosebumps, so I made an exception. His looks weren't the only thing that attracted me. He commanded the room with his silence. He was chivalrous, and he did more charity work than even me. He was a catch, and I knew it. He was sitting at the table near the stage, his eyes on me the entire time I walked toward him. He didn't even glance at the other woman who had just been heading his way. Now she was talking to Christian, and judging by how long their conversation lasted, she was no longer interested in Calloway. Just by sitting there, he looked sexy. His head was tilted slightly to the left, and his blue eyes reflected the jewels in the chandelier above his head. One hand rested on the table next to his empty wine glass, and a black watch was wrapped around his wrist. Without moving his head, he watched me come closer to him. My heart was beating fast, but I hid my anxiety. I wore the mask I always wore, appearing indifferent despite the range of emotions deep inside me. He grabbed the chair beside him and adjusted it so I could sit, right next to him. The chairs were only inches apart and our legs would brush against each other under the table.
I've been saving this seat for you.
I lowered myself into the seat and kept a stoic expression, not reacting to what he just said. You knew I was coming?
I wore my lucky tie, and that thing works like a charm.
He gave me that slight smile, the kind that reached his eyes and gave him a boyish aura. He crossed one leg and rested his ankle on the opposite knee. His chest and shoulders were large, covering the chair that supported his back. Even though he was covered in clothing, the details of his body could be determined by the hug of the fabric. He had a wide and powerful chest, muscled arms, and shoulders that could lift a mountain. You should let me borrow it sometime.
Not if you're going to use it for another guy.
His hand rested on his thigh, and the top of it was corded in veins. His forearms were probably the same, masculine with tight muscles.
But I will if you use it on me.
I don't need a tie. I crossed my legs under the table, then poured some wine into his empty glass. I brought it to my lips and took a drink. He watched me, his eyes growing darker. I was never this flirtatious with anyone, and I wasn't even sure what was happening. My hormones took charge and my mind was dulled.
Congratulations on your award.
Thank you. I'm sorry I took it from you. He smiled again, the genuine kind that reached his eyes.
I'm not. You earned it.
That's nice of you to say.
And sincere.
He took the wine glass from my hand and took a drink.
Where are you going to put it?
In my office at work. I think it'll look nice.
I'm sure it will.
Where do you keep yours?
In my office on the bookshelf.
Want to know something interesting? He leaned closer to me, far too close for a work function.
As long as it's coming from you, always.
I wondered if he laid these moves on everyone. Even if he did, they worked. I was turning into a puddle at the very moment. I applied to your company twice a few years ago. Never got an interview. His eyes narrowed in surprise.
That's a shame. We missed out.
After that, I opened for all, so everything worked out. But I was so disappointed when I didn't get the job. It was the first thing I applied for out of college. I'm such an admirer of your work. You do so much for so many people and never expect anything in return.
If you're still interested, I could find you something.
I smiled at his generosity. That's very nice of you, but I'm okay. I love my little company. In fact, I'm glad things worked out the way they did. I love having control in what we do.
It's a great organization. I've respected your work for years.
He might just be saying that, but I suspected he wasn't. Thanks. That means a lot. His eyes scanned across my face, taking in my eyes and my mouth like I was a work of art rather than a person. He didn't hesitate to study me, not caring if I noticed.
I'm going to say something, and I want you to accept it without saying a word.
Okay. His intensity was frightening, but it sucked me in. I felt the magnetic pull on my body as I fell deeper into him. This man turned me into a weak deer that could barely stand on its legs.
Ever since you slapped me, I haven't stopped thinking about you. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, and your palm is even more beautiful.
I breathed through my reaction, keeping my lips immobile even though there were a few things I wanted to say. Instead, I held his gaze, feeling my body elevate in temperature until even my ears burned. My palms suddenly felt sweaty and my thighs squeezed together under the table. He hadn't blinked since he said those words. He stared at me with his piercing gaze, seeing right through me and all my defenses. His eyes slowly migrated across my features, taking in my lips, my neck, and then my eyes. The air suddenly felt heavy. The nearby conversations turned silent, and it felt like we were the only two people in the world. His natural power and masculine strength made me tense in his presence. I'd never met a man who made me feel like such a woman. I wanted his hands on my body, those lips pressed against my mouth, and his cock buried deep inside me. I wanted all of him. Tonight. Can I buy you a drink sometime? His eyes narrowed in response, focusing on mine.
No.
I stared at him in confusion, assuming I heard him wrong.
I'm buying your drinks for a very long time.
He offered to take me home, and I accepted his offer so I could be with him a little longer. We sat in the back seat of the town car while his driver took us to my address. I sat on one side of the car and he sat on the other. There was no touching, but there was heat. Just before we pulled up to my building, I remembered Christian. I didn't tell him I was leaving and now I felt like a bitch for ditching him. I pulled out my phone and sent him a quick message. Sorry, I just left. Calloway took me home. He responded immediately.
Good. About time you got some D.
I rolled my eyes and typed back. Hooking up with that woman?
Already did in the bathroom.
I cringed before I tucked my phone into my clutch.
Your brother seems like a nice guy.
His gaze was focused out the window so he didn't peer at my phone while I was typing. It was simply a good guess. He is.
I like him.
Everyone does. They found his humor charming and even his insults endearing. Do you have siblings?
One brother, Jackson.
I kept my hands in my lap and stared out the window. My fingers naturally rubbed together, and I forced them to stop so he wouldn't know I was nervous. He kept his calm and indifferent facade, and I wanted to play it cool as well. When we arrived at my apartment, we walked up to my floor, then stopped in front of my door. The hallway was run down with torn carpet covered in stains. Most of the light fixtures were broken, so it was unnaturally dark. It smelled damp, like a few pipes were busted in the walls and an entire colony of mold was growing. I knew he was extremely wealthy, so this place was definitely a dump in his eyes. But he never acted like it. I got my key in the door with my heart racing, prepared to invite him inside. But reason descended on my shoulders, and I knew I was doing this for the wrong reasons. I finally found a man I was excited about, so I wanted to jump the gun. But in reality, I really didn't know anything about him other than his charms and his charity work. I had to slow this down before I did something I regretted. I turned around and kept my back to the door. "Thank you for taking me home." He hid his disappointment so well I actually believed it. He must have assumed he would come inside tonight, but he didn't voice that expectation. A guy like him must get action left and right, without lifting a finger.
"It was a pleasure. I'm glad I ran into you tonight."
"Me too." He inched closer to me until I was backed up into the door. My back pressed against the old wood, and I felt his chest move into mine. Both of his hands pressed against the door, on either side of my head. I was caged like an animal with nowhere to run. He eyed my lips before he leaned in and pressed a kiss over my mouth. It was soft, a contradiction to how hard he was, and he didn't use his tongue. He kissed me slowly before he gave my bottom lip extra attention. He pulled it into his mouth before he released me. His eyes leveled with mine, and he stared me down, the veins in his neck protruding harder than they did before. He took a deep breath to restrain himself, feeling that scorching kiss with the same intensity.
"I know you aren't the kind of woman to sleep with a guy on the first date, so I'm not going to push my way through this door until we're rolling around on your sheets."
He eyed my lips like he might kiss me again.
"But just know, I want to."
Chapter 5. Calloway. I jerked off twice when I got home. Ever since I laid eyes on this woman, I jerked off 5 times, and I never jerked off. I preferred the real thing rather than my imagination and a slick hand. I wanted her tight pussy around my cock, along with her ass and mouth. I wanted all of her, right this very moment. Just watching her walk turned me on. She held herself like a queen, her head high and her shoulders back. It didn't matter how tall her heels were. She could still strut across the floor like her feet were bare. When I first met Christian, I feared the worst, that she had a man. When I saw them together, I seriously considered killing him. Whoever he was, he didn't deserve her. He wasn't man enough to handle a woman like that. Only I was. Fortunately, Christian was a sibling in her eyes, no threat whatsoever. I stayed at my table because I wanted to observe her. When we spoke, I detected the arousal in her eyes. Her chest and neck were flushed pink, and her pretty lips were moist from constantly licking them. She hid her desire better than most women, but I could see it if I looked hard enough. So I left the ball in her court. And like I hoped, she came to me. Once she saw Patricia making her way toward me, she stepped up and intervened. She sunk into the chair I'd been holding for her and claimed a stake. She wanted me. Thank fucking God. Because if she didn't, I was going to make her mine anyway. I put all my cards on the table and told her what I wanted. Her. And when I took her home, I really thought I was going to sink into her and come deep inside her. When she said otherwise, I was surprised I wasn't irritated. I accepted her dismissal when I could have seduced her until I got what I wanted. She was attracted to me and clearly wanted me, but that wasn't a road I wanted to take. I wanted her to want me, to beg for me, before I finally had her. I respected her too much to take something that wasn't freely given, which wasn't like me at all. I kept picturing her tied up in my safe room, her wrists chained to her ankles with her ass in the air. I pictured my big cock sinking into that tiny, puckered hole and making us both come at the same time. I wanted to gag her pretty mouth so she would have to scream louder to be heard. I wanted to slap her ass as hard as she slapped me. I wanted to break her until there was nothing left. But that would take time. I wasn't sure if that was a lifestyle she participated in, because I couldn't find any information about her. Judging by her ruthless confidence, I had a feeling it was something she never experimented with before. But she did have the courage to explore new territory, so there was hope. Maybe she would agree to be my submissive after she got to know me. I wouldn't be the only one getting pleasure out of it. She would get even more. I waited a few days before I contacted her because some restraint was necessary. If I rushed her too quickly, it would chase her away. It was okay to tell her I wanted her, but if I showed her just how truly obsessed I was, it would turn her off. It would terrify any woman. It was a Tuesday afternoon when I walked into her office on 10th. It was a small building with two stories. The top was a psychic palm reader, and on the bottom was her non-profit organization, For All. A small sign was next to the door. Something about the quaint space was innately charming, unlike her apartment. That place was a dump, and it took all my strength not to buy her a condo right then and there. I walked inside. The place was about 500 square feet with a small waiting area, a bathroom, and a large white desk against the window. A vase of fresh flowers sat on the corner. A white MacBook was in the center, and a stack of stationery was on the opposite corner. Her voice sounded from the break room.
"Oh my God, Tay, this guy is from another planet. He's so gorgeous, I actually want to throw up."
I grinned when I realized she was gossiping about me to her girlfriend. I took a seat in front of her desk and rested my ankle on the opposite knee. I stopped by my office at Humanitarians United to do a few things that morning, so I was dressed down in jeans and a long-sleeved shirt. I relaxed and listened to the rest of their conversation.
"He's the director and founder of that nonprofit I told you about. He's a gentleman."
I wanted to laugh at that part.
"He's funny and sweet, and he's just so hot. I can't explain it better than that. I haven't felt this way about a guy since... I can't even remember."
And now I was grinning like an idiot. Her voice turned somber after Taylor said something.
"No, he's nothing like that asshole. I can tell."
My smile dropped instantly.
"Tay, I've gotta go. I've got so much stuff to do today, it makes me wish I had the money for an assistant."
She hung up, then walked back into the room holding a steaming mug. She didn't notice me right away. When she reached her desk, she nearly jumped out of her heels and spilled her beverage all over her body.
"Oh, God! How long have you been sitting there?"
I grinned in response. She set her mug down and sighed in humiliation.
"Will I ever not embarrass myself in your presence?"
"I hope not." I rose from the chair and came around her desk, entering her personal space quicker than I normally would. After hearing that conversation, I knew she was seriously into me. That gave me some leverage. Her cheeks started to flush rose pink in embarrassment. She ran her fingers through her hair anxiously, her green eyes no longer possessing their usual fire. "I'll even the score. After I dropped you off, I went home and beat off twice, thinking about you." That was personal and true, and to most people, probably a little embarrassing. I should have walked out before I invaded her personal conversation, and now I actually felt a little guilty about it. Does that help? She swallowed the lump in her throat and her cheeks tinted a darker shade. Instead of just being embarrassed, she was aroused. At least the latter was better than the former.
Yeah, I guess.
And after we met in the bar, I did the same. I put more of my cards on the table, wanting her to know the exact hand I possessed. Her charming personality and her flushed cheeks made me even more fond of her. Unlike most women, she was real. She was upfront and honest, and she wasn't too proud to admit when she was vulnerable. Only a truly confident woman could be that way.
Getting better.
And I haven't felt this way about a woman in forever. That wasn't some lie to get her to open her legs. That was the truth, and I didn't even understand it yet. I saw her in that bar, fell hard, and when she slapped me, I fell even harder. My fascination wasn't just with her appearance and her boldness. It ran deeper than that. But I still couldn't explain it. I wanted her to be my submissive, but since she was nothing like a submissive, I couldn't figure out why I wanted her so much. Maybe because she was a challenge, the biggest one I'd ever faced. Her eyes softened and her cheeks finally returned to their naturally fair color. The freckle in the corner of her mouth contrasted against the pale skin, and her bright eyes reminded me of stars.
We're even.
I took her to lunch at a Mediterranean place just down the street. To my annoyance, she ordered a side salad instead of anything on the entree menu. And maybe she had a big breakfast, so she wasn't that hungry, so I didn't give her shit about it. She was extremely thin, but curvy, and I hoped she didn't starve herself to look that way. Natural light filtered through the window and cast her in a good view. Her eyes reflected the winter sunlight, and her brown hair looked almost red under the bright light. Like an angel with a halo, she glowed.
What's the next project you're working on?
She was asking me about work, the biggest thing we both had in common. With the holidays around the corner, we're organizing a gift drive. We're raising money for Christmas gifts for 10,000 working families in Manhattan. With passion, her eyes lit up.
That's so wonderful. Are you mostly collecting toys?
We're collecting gifts for adults, too. That way the whole family has something to open on Christmas morning. It comes with a tree, ornaments, and lights, and a dinner. Her eyes glowed even further.
That's such a great idea. That will make their day so wonderful.
You're more than welcome to participate. I knew her organization had their own projects, but it didn't hurt to team up together. After all, we were all working toward the same cause.
I would love to.
I knew she would agree, and I was hoping she would for selfish reasons. What are you working on?
Food kitchens for the homeless. They usually receive canned goods from the Salvation Army, but we're trying to get more nutritious foods all year round. Around the holidays, volunteers put the effort in to help, but after January, the homeless are abandoned all over again. I really want to change that.
She took a few bites of her tiny salad, then sipped her iced tea. That sounds great.
I've got a good team to help me out. I can't be everywhere at once, so they're my eyes, ears, and hands.
Do you do this full time? I already knew the answer from Charles, but I wanted the answer from her.
Yeah, I founded this company right after college, and I've been doing it ever since. Sometimes I do family therapy on the side for extra cash, but my schedule is usually so busy I can't do that very often.
I started my company with an inheritance, and after it received critical acclaim, we got regular donors from all over the city. We were a non-profit organization, but each employee was paid for their work. We were fortunate in that matter, and it wasn't an easy task to accomplish. My personal salary was enough to make anyone envious, but it came from my investments in real estate. After all, I put in a lot of money to get the company off the ground in the first place. Very noble.
Where did you go to school?
I pulled a piece of chicken off the kebab and placed it into my mouth. After a few bites, I swallowed. I never went to college.
Oh.
She seemed to realize she put her foot in her mouth because she said,
I shouldn't have assumed. It really doesn't matter if you did or didn't.
Remorse was in her eyes because she was concerned she offended me, and some people might be offended by that.
I'm sorry.
No need to apologize. I didn't go to college because I was never interested in school. I taught myself everything I needed to know and went from there. She stared at me with a mixture of awe and surprise.
That's amazing.
Thanks.
And one day you decided to open Humanitarians United?
I received a large inheritance from my father and wanted to put it to good use. Her eyes softened.
That's so sweet.
It wasn't as sweet as she thought. I made a formidable living running Ruin. My BDSM club was the biggest one in the city, and we usually had to turn new members away because the occupancy limit was maxed. Jackson and I considered expanding, but we never pursued it. No one knew I was the owner. The wealthy and affluent people I interacted with on a daily basis would never show their face in a place like that. Do you like your salad?
It's delicious.
She finished it off, eating every single bite and leaving her plate as clean as it was before they put the salad on it. She was either really hungry or didn't like to waste food.
Did you like yours?
It was amazing. This is my favorite Mediterranean place.
Mine too. Why do you think I opened For All just down the street?
She smiled with her eyes, being a little flirtatious. I liked it when she flirted with me.
Free Friday night?
Depends.
On?
If you're asking me out.
And what if I am?
I'm free as a bird. Her grin widened when she saw the excited look in my eyes. Come over, and I'll cook dinner. Instantly, that smile vanished, and she was on edge. You would think I asked her if she wanted to go murder some kids or something.
How about we go to that new Thai place on 3rd? I've been wanting to try it.
I brushed off the rejection like it didn't happen. Thai is one of my favorites. Sounds good.
Great. I'll meet you there at 7.
Okay, now something was up. She didn't want to come to my place, and she didn't want me to pick her up either. I didn't want to interrogate her so early in the relationship, so I let her strange comments slide. But once we were acquainted with one another, I wouldn't let anything slide, except my cock between her lips. I just finished a meeting with a special VIP. Famous and recognizable, he wanted assurance that his behavior within Ruin would be kept under wraps. While I couldn't guarantee that, I could say it was very likely. Members kept information to themselves. They never talked about the things they saw or who acted them out. No one talked about it. But wearing a mask was always a good way to go. Personally, I never wore them, but I knew people who couldn't fuck without them. Once the meeting was over and the paperwork was signed, we walked out and enjoyed the scene right outside my door. The bass of the music filtered into my office once the door was open, and I could see the dim lights through the darkness. It was a beautiful world. Jackson walked in a moment later, wearing black jeans and a black shirt. Hook and sinker? I nodded. Awesome. He sat in the chair across from me, the one my guest had just vacated.
I think we need to have a serious conversation about expansion. We're packed every night, and there aren't enough beds for all the fucking that goes on in this place.
I was preoccupied with other things and didn't want to devote the time to opening a new business. It's a lot of work, and it's risky. When businesses expand, they almost never do well. They split the members between the two sites, and then you're paying more money for the same number of people.
Not if we have no association with it. What if it's a completely different club? No one needs to know we're involved. It'll attract new members from a different side of town. We can open it under a different name and have a manager take care of the rest.
I was a control freak, and letting someone else run my business was unacceptable. No, we have to run the show.
Fine, I'll take care of it.
Like I'd trust him to be an adult. Both of us. He rolled his eyes.
When the fuck will you trust me?
Never.
I don't have the time right now, Jackson. Between this and Humanitarian, I'm running dry.
And chasing after that little slut? My eyes narrowed on his face, and I threatened him without saying a single word. Rome was mine, in every sense of the word, and no one talked about her like that. Not even me. Jackson noticed my hostility and leaned back.
What's so special about this woman? Isabella is a fine piece of ass. I didn't care what he said about her. She wasn't mine to defend anymore. I'll tell you when I figure it out. When are you going to bring her in here? I don't know. Probably never. I wouldn't want anyone to look at her and fantasize about fucking her instead of their real partner. I wanted her on my own bed, her wrists tied to my own headboard. Like a bear, I wanted to drag her into my cave and never let her go. I'm eager to meet this sexy lady. I get hard just thinking about it. I gave him the same glare, warning him I would actually kill him this time. Shit, calm down. I was just joking. You weren't, asshole. All right, he shrugged. I wasn't, but you know I would never touch her. That's a line I've never crossed. But he might try once he sees her. Out of nowhere, he turned serious, crossing his arms over his chest and giving me the same cold look I gave everyone else. I'm worried about Isabella. I think you should check on her. What do you mean? I haven't seen her around, and when I called her, she didn't answer. Marie told me she's not eating or moving. She's really struggling, man. She took the breakup hard. Guilt flooded through me, but then rage replaced it. She was just my sub, and I never made her think otherwise. I made it clear there was an expiration date on the arrangement. I never told her I loved her, and I never slept over. I treated her how I treated all the others. It's not my fault she hoped for more. Jackson kept staring at me, drilling the guilt deep inside me. Despite my anger, I did feel bad for hurting Isabella. She got attached when she shouldn't have, but I somehow felt responsible for it. Maybe I shouldn't have let our arrangement last as long as it did. Perhaps I should put a timer down and make sure a relationship never exceeded it, no matter how good it was. Jackson stood and shoved his hands into his pockets. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Do whatever you want. He walked to the door. I'm not checking on her. This is her problem, not mine. He glanced at me over his shoulder before he walked out. After I knocked on the door twice, there was still no answer. Isabella, it's me. I finally heard life inside the apartment, and the door unlocked a moment later. Wearing a messy bun and a blanket covering her shoulders, she opened the door. Her cheeks were hollow and her eyes sunken. Heavy bags were under her eyes from exhaustion. She stared at me in surprise, like she couldn't believe I was really there. Can I come in? She stepped away from the door and allowed me entry before she shut the door behind me. I turned to her and tried to think of something to say. My lips were immobile and my brain wasn't functioning. We just broke up a few weeks ago, but it felt like a lifetime. My mind and body were in a completely different place, obsessed with a different woman. Isabella, I... She moved into my chest and wrapped her arms around my waist. She squeezed me tightly, like she never wanted to let go. A sigh accompanied her actions. I wanted to let her hold me, to make her feel better, but I felt like I was betraying the woman I was working so hard to get. If her ex hugged her, I'd flip the fuck out, so I couldn't let my ex hold me. I gently pulled her hands away from my waist and returned them to her chest. Then I took a step back. That's not why I'm here. Jackson told me you were going through a hard time, and I just wanted to see if you were okay. She dropped her hands to her sides, limp.
I'm not okay, Cal. I don't think I'll ever be okay.
Sympathy and annoyance burned inside me. I could spit back the words she said to me a year ago, but that would make me a dick, so I didn't. Is there anything I can do to make this easier? She crossed her arms over her chest, looking unnaturally thin.
No.
I remained in my spot by the door, knowing that wasn't the end of it, even though she pretty much just excused me. I will stay away from ruin for a while, so you don't bump into me.
I'm not going there anyway.
I can set you up with someone, with a dom that can give you what you need,
Cal, I don't want anyone else. Don't you get it?
Well, you can't have me. I wasn't going to baby her because it wouldn't make it easier for her. She had to understand there was no hope for us getting back together. If I didn't squash that tiny possibility, she would keep pushing. Her eyes widened at my harshness. We agreed on what this was going to be from the beginning. It's not my fault you wanted something more. It's not my fault you thought it would turn into something different. I'm sorry I hurt you, really. But frankly, you need to get over it.
You wouldn't be here right now unless you cared about me.
Caring is one thing. Loving someone is another. I don't love you, Isabella. Not you or anyone on this planet. She must have mistaken my kisses and touches for something more. I was never gentle with her, except when we were finished. Perhaps I should have broken her more, shattered her more.
Not even your new whore?
She stressed the last word as hard as she could, insulting someone she didn't even know. Don't be ugly, Isabella. You can say and do whatever you want, but nothing is going to change. Acting this way is only pushing me further away. If you were sane, you would understand that.
This is hard for me, okay? How would you feel if I left because I found another dom I wanted more?
I would let you walk away. If she wanted her freedom, I would have given it to her. I wouldn't have done a single thing to hold her back. I would swallow my pride at her rejection and let it go. After our year together, I thought you would do the same for me. I never loved you, but I did trust you. You were my friend. I don't understand why you're trying to hurt me like this.
You broke my trust when you left me for another woman.
I said I wouldn't cheat on you, and I kept my word.
So you say.
She sneered. Why would I lie? I demanded. If I fucked someone else, I would tell you. I have nothing to hide and no reason to be untrue. I saw this woman, fell hard, and then came clean about it. I don't know what it is about her that's got me so hard up, but there's something. I'm not going to pretend it's not going on and act like I'm not thinking about her when I'm with you. It happened, all right? I can't change the past and I can't ignore it. It is what it is. Now be a big girl and get over it. My speech only heightened her anger.
The bottom line is we would still be together if she hadn't walked into that bar, and we both know it.
You're right. But it would have only lasted so long, Isabella. One day I would have grown tired of you and left. That's the cold, hard truth, and you know it. So don't blame her for this. I'm the one who chose to leave. So blame me. Chapter 6. Calloway. I arrived at the restaurant half an hour early and reserved a quiet table in the back. Candles glowed on the tablecloth and a small vase of roses sat as the centerpiece. I didn't do dinner, romance, and flowers, but I would do it for her. It would take some time to open her up and get her to consider my offer. Since I was a renowned figure in the community, I couldn't afford to have her blab the truth of my ways to the public. It would ruin my reputation and shame the organization I'd spent the last 7 years building. The people who would suffer the most were those in need, including my employees. She arrived right on time and found me sitting in the back. I rose to greet her, wearing slacks and a dark blue collared shirt. I skipped the tie and the jacket because that was much too formal for me. I avoided wearing a suit as often as possible, way too stiff and thick. She wore a short black dress with a deep cut in the front. When she was close enough, I could catch a glimpse of her cleavage. When I first saw her in the bar, I didn't look because I was trying to be polite. But now that she dressed that way a second time, I took her invitation and looked, and didn't bother hiding it. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
She took off her black coat and placed it on the back of her chair. I pulled the chair out for her, treating her exactly the way she wanted to be treated. Without knowing much about her, I could tell she was a good girl.
She wanted the respect she deserved and expected a man to treat her like a queen. I could treat her like a goddess. But I wanted something in return. I sat across from her and admired the curls in her hair. They were open and long, making the strands frame her face and highlight her naturally perfect features. Her small nose was perfectly centered, and she wore dark makeup around her eyes that made her look sexier than she already was. I pictured that hair wrapped around my fist. Those thick curls would be easy to hook around my palm so I could yank her head back while I fucked her hard in the ass. My cock sprang to life in record time. She had rounded shoulders and slender arms. Her neck was one of her best features. It was curved and long, giving her an air of royalty. A gold necklace was around her throat, with a circled pendant at the bottom. I realized I'd been staring for a long time without saying a word. I love the way you've done your hair.
Oh, thanks.
She tucked a strand behind her ear.
I like the way you've done yours, too.
I didn't do anything at all. Thanks. I returned to picturing my hand wrapped around her hair, until I finally forced myself to calm the hell down. I ordered some wine. Would you like some? I grabbed the bottle and her glass and began to pour it without waiting for an answer. She answered when I was nearly finished.
I'd love some.
She took a sip before she eyed her menu. Her chest rose and fell at a steady rate, and her cheeks weren't flushed like the last time I saw her. She was calm and in control, just as she was in that bar. Her embarrassment from her phone conversation with her friend was in the past.
Everything looks good.
Then order everything. I just hope they have enough to-go boxes. She chuckled before she put the menu to the side.
I could stop by the homeless shelter and give everyone a special treat.
They'd go crazy for some pad thai. We ordered our food and the waiter disappeared once more, leaving her and I to the privacy of our corner. I wished the table wasn't so large and she wasn't so far away. I wanted to wrap my fingers around her wrist and hold her still, but even if I could, that would never happen because she would see me for what I really was. She looked so beautiful by candlelight that I wanted to command her to touch herself, to sink her fingers underneath her dress and panties. I wanted her to press her fingers to her clit and watch my face as she got herself off, thinking about me. The words were heavy on my tongue, but I kept them back. I would have to get my dominance under control before I did something I couldn't take back. How was your day?
Good. I had a lot of work at the office. Tomorrow I'm volunteering at the soup kitchen.
I was all about helping people, but I didn't give up my weekends for anything. Except her. Can I join you?
Really?
Her mouth instantly formed a smile. Of course. We can get lunch afterward.
That would be fun. Have you volunteered before?
Can't say I have.
Well, bring some old clothes. We'll probably get dirty.
Her choice of words got me hard in my slacks. My eyes narrowed on her face and I pictured kissing her hard on the mouth. She caught on to my reaction but didn't blush.
And I'll get dirty too.
Now she was just toying with me. The waiter arrived with our food. And I was irritated to see that she ordered another salad. It wasn't big enough to constitute as a meal, and it hardly looked satisfying. If she were my submissive, she wouldn't be allowed to order a salad ever again. She would get whatever I ordered for her, and she would eat the entire fucking thing. Were you born in New York?
Yeah, in Manhattan.
She just lied to me. If she were born here, Charles would have known about it. But since I couldn't tell her I was a stalker and did a background check on her, I couldn't call her out on her shit.
What about you?
Born and raised. I studied her face like a scientist looking into a microscope. I wanted to study all of her reactions so I could read her later. For instance, now I knew the face she made when she lied, because she just lied to me. Christian, too?
He was born in Kansas. We met a few years later on.
They weren't related, so that meant one of them was adopted into the foster family, or there was some other explanation.
I wanted to come out and ask her bluntly, but that seemed too harsh. If she asked me personal questions, I wouldn't appreciate it. Did he have a good time with Patricia?
He said they hooked up in the bathroom.
She was easy. Too easy, actually. Did they meet up again?
I doubt it. Christian isn't really the dating type.
Was he the same type as me? I didn't detect any dominance from him, but I could be wrong. There was no reason for him to act that way around his sister. Good for him. Glad he had some fun at the gala.
She almost tried to have her fun with you.
I pretended not to know what she was referring to. If we continued down this road, I would have to admit I fucked Patricia once, and I didn't want to talk about other women when I was with Rome. What does Christian do?
He manages mutual funds.
Good for him.
He seems to like it, even though it sounds painfully boring to me.
Some people are into that. Numbers.
Do you do anything else besides run Humanitarians United?
I hated lying, and avoided it at all costs. It made me feel like less of a man. If you had to hide who you were, then you were weak. But I couldn't tell Rome the truth, not this early on. I have a few hobbies.
Like what?
Reading, biking, hiking, wine, and classical music.
We have a few things in common. I love reading and playing the piano.
My fingers tightened around my glass at that response. The idea of her sitting at the piano and hitting the keys with her slender fingertips made my body burn. Knowing she made something beautiful with her body was one of the biggest turn-ons I'd ever experienced. I wanted to throw her on a grand piano and make some music together. I'd love to hear you play sometime.
Sure, sometime.
I detected that distance again. She told Taylor how much she wanted me, but she suddenly hit the brakes and kept space between us. I still hadn't figured out why, but I would know eventually. The mystery surrounding her drew me in. I always dug up information on my partners before I engaged them. Some had a past I couldn't overcome, and some had tendencies that told me they were emotionally unstable. Isabella's file was clean, but she ended up being an emotional wreck anyway. With Rome, I went into it nearly blind, and that only made me more interested in discovering her secrets.
What's your brother like?
A shithead. We look a lot alike. Anyone who sees us together knows we're brothers. I'm the cool, rational one, and he's the immature one. And, of course, I'm simply better looking. That's the biggest difference between us. She smiled at my cocky comment.
I have a feeling you're right. Can't picture someone better looking than you.
My stomach tightened at the compliment. It was the kind I'd never received before. Women told me to fuck them and make them come. But no one had ever said anything so generous while sitting across from me in a public place. Then you haven't seen all the underwear models on billboards in this city. She shrugged.
They all look the same to me. Photoshopped.
God, I wanted to fuck her. Thank you for the compliment. We ate our dinner while keeping our conversation going. When we stuck to meaningless topics like music and film, my cock behaved itself and remained soft in my trousers. Sometimes I had to go into a zen mode so I wouldn't grab her by the neck and bend her over the table. It took serious concentration for me to remain in control of my faculties. This woman turned me into a wild animal, a caveman. All I knew how to do was fuck.
Is there a story behind your generosity?
I didn't understand the question, so I took a moment to figure it out. Not sure what you mean.
Did you know someone who struggled when you were growing up? Or did you have some kind of experience with being in need? I feel like the people who help others the most are those who've suffered through it themselves.
I had my experience with abuse, but that wasn't the underlying reason for my behavior. I was related to the coldest and cruelest man I'd ever met, and it was my responsibility to erase the horrible things he did. Jackson resented me for getting most of the inheritance, and when he realized I gave it away to charity, he wasn't happy.
But if he knew why I got that money, he would shut his mouth. No, the inheritance I received was more than any single person could ever need. I didn't want to keep it all for myself, that's all. She nodded.
That's very generous of you.
What about you? This was an answer I was eager for. I knew nothing about her prior to her years in college. She changed her name at one point, and she was untraceable. It was like she was in the witness protection program, off the map.
I didn't have a great childhood. My parents were drug addicts, and I grew up in a foster home. And that's where I met Christian.
She said the words so simply, like she was talking about the weather when she visited the beach. The expression in her eyes didn't change, and her voice didn't shake. I'm so sorry. The words flew out of my mouth before I could restrain them. Pity rose in my heart, and I wanted to fix everything for her. I wanted to go back in time and get her out of there. I wanted to protect her from the horrible things she must have seen.
Don't do that.
What?
Don't feel bad for me.
The same strength I saw in the bar that night came back into her features. She was a fireball that couldn't be doused with water. She burned brighter, making everything else look dark in comparison.
Don't pity me. Christian and I got out of that situation and made lives for ourselves. We may not have parents, but we have each other, and that's always been good enough for both of us. We have a place to call home, and we have food on the table. I'm the very last person you should feel bad for.
Her resolve only made me want her more. She refused to have a pity party for herself, and when she spoke of her past, she didn't choke. With a spine made of steel, she was powerful and strong. When life pushed her down, she got back on her feet and stood even taller. That resilience was sexier than any submissive I'd ever had, even those with all their daddy issues. This woman was fire and ice mixed together. She was painfully beautiful. I don't. I admire you. Her hard expression softened.
Thank you.
Now I wanted to fuck her even more. We just had to get through this dinner, and I would offer to take her home. Once we were outside her door, I would kiss her until she invited me inside. I needed to get naked with this woman and fuck her all through the night. My dick needed to be inside her yesterday. We did the check dance before I finally got my money to the waiter. I suspected she would try to pay for her meal because that was just the kind of woman she was. And I was right. She fought me until she finally lost. But if she were my submissive, the fight wouldn't have taken place at all. We walked outside, and I headed to my car parked off the street. When I realized she wasn't walking with me, I turned back to her. "Let me give you a ride home. Those heels must be a bitch to walk in." She wore them like sandals, but I knew they must hurt the balls of her feet.
"I'll wave down a cab. Thank you for dinner."
She looked up at me with her striking green eyes, hiding something below the surface. "I don't mind taking you home. It's the least I can do since I didn't pick you up." Actually, she wouldn't let me pick her up.
"Really, it's okay."
My left hand formed a fist, and I had to battle for dominion. I wanted to tell her to shut her mouth and get into the car, but that wouldn't get me anywhere. She wasn't ready to see my dark side, even though I was ready to unleash it. "Rome." She straightened when I said her name, picking up on my tone. "What's going on?"
"I don't know what you mean."
This time I couldn't hold back. I snapped. "You know exactly what I mean. Don't waste my time by treating me like an idiot." She stilled at my command, and instead of being offended, she seemed embarrassed.
"I would love it if you took me home, but I don't trust myself around you. I know the second we're in front of my door, I'm going to jump in your arms and wrap my legs around your waist."
"And what's wrong with that? It sounded like a pretty damn good picture to me."
"I don't want to rush this."
"Why?
Getting straight to the good stuff was how I did things.
Because I liked you, Calloway.
She looked into my eyes with her bright ones, looking like a dream come true with her vulnerability. She only lied to me to protect herself, and the moment she was honest again, she was gorgeous. I loved seeing that expression on her face, like she trusted me with the truth. I like you too, Rome. Like wasn't an appropriate word to express my feelings. Obsessed was more like it. I'd wanted to get under that skirt the second I laid eyes on her. It was all I'd been thinking about with my hand wrapped around my hard cock. But I wanted the real thing, and I was tired of waiting. She wanted me, I wanted her, end of story.
I don't want to do something I'll regret.
Her voice lowered further, more of her vulnerability coming to the surface.
I've made some bad choices in my life. I'm trying not to repeat them.
She was hinting at her ex, some asshole who did something unforgivable to her. I wanted to pry, but I knew it wasn't my place. If she wanted me to know, she would have told me. You won't regret me, Rome. When we were rolling around on my sheets and she was coming all through the night, she would hate herself for waiting so long. She was the ideal woman, and I was the only guy who was man enough to handle her. I was the only man who deserved her, but I couldn't make her see that. She would have to figure that out on her own. Let me take you home. I'll walk you to your door, kiss you goodnight, and then walk away like a gentleman. Even though I was nothing of the sort. Her eyes searched mine for assurance. She obviously didn't find it because she said,
"Can you promise me something?"
I had no idea what she would ask, but looking into her forest green eyes made me not care about whatever words came out of her mouth. I was hypnotized, as I'd been 1,000 times before. This woman brought me to my knees with just an expression, and she did it so many times. Anything.
Can we wait a while? Even if I ask, promise we won't sleep together?
Where was the fun in that?
How was I supposed to chain her to my headboard when she wouldn't even get on her back?
This woman was strong and centered, so why did she need me to make a promise like that? If she were anyone else, I would abandon this hopeless feat and find someone else. How long? She cleared her throat before she answered.
4 weeks.
What the fuck? 4 goddamn weeks? Is she insane? A whole month? Hell no. Forget that. No one was worth 4 weeks. I'd find someone else. I'd die if I waited that long. Absolutely not. Her eyes glanced back and forth between mine, shaking because they moved so quickly. She tried to read my thoughts, but they were tucked away deep inside my chest. She must have expected my refusal because she was looking for it. Soon she would find it. 4 weeks was unacceptable. It had already been 2 weeks since I last got laid, and I hadn't beaten off so much in my life. Another 4 on top of that would kill me. My cock would never forgive me, and that resentment would only grow as time passed. But I couldn't walk away from her. I would regret that even more. I wanted her to trust me enough to allow me to do some twisted and dark things. I wanted her to trust me to gag her, bind her, and bring her to the highest levels of pleasure. I wanted her to trust me to hurt her, to bend her until she nearly snapped in two. How would I earn that unconditional trust unless I gave her a reason to trust me? This woman wasn't like the others, and I had accepted that from the beginning. If I really wanted her, I'd have to work for it. And I was always up for a challenge. Okay. The strain in her eyes finally dwindled. She obviously expected me to disagree with her request, which any normal man would. And I surprised her when I didn't. But my eyes were on the prize. The best submissive I could ever ask for.
Thank you.
But what constitutes a sex? I had a lot of different definitions of the act.
What do you mean?
Well, I won't sleep with you for 4 weeks, even if you ask me to, but you need to define it better. Can I kiss you? Can I touch you? Can I finger you? She didn't hide her surprise at my vulgar questions,
I hadn't thought about it.
Well, do so now.
Anything